Good morning. Welcome back. We live in a world that loves to make predictions. I'm sure in the last few weeks, many of you were involved with the March Madness brackets, which you filled out, doing your best to attempt to predict who would win each game and who would be the eventual champion. In our younger years, we like to make predictions about who we will marry, about what we'll do for a career, about where we'll live, that kind of stuff. But when someone calls their own shot, when someone makes a prediction about their own future, and then it comes true, well, that's something, isn't it? When a basketball player dribbles down the court and takes a fadeaway shot from the elbow, and while the ball is floating through the air, he yells out, "Bank," and then that ball proceeds to bounce off the backboard and into the hoop, that player has called his own shot. Before a monumental performance, when a musician leans over to his producer backstage and whispers in his ear and predicts a standing ovation for his performance, that musician is calling his own shot. Perhaps the most famous example of this comes from October 31st, 1932, in Game 3 of the World Series between the New York Yankees and the Chicago Cubs, when arguably the greatest baseball player of all time, Babe Ruth, stepped into the batter's box and pointed his bat to dead center field. And as probably most of you know, on the very next pitch, he crushed the ball 440 feet into those stands. He called his own shot. When humans call their own shot, it's called arrogant or perhaps lucky coincidental. But when God calls his own shot, it's called miraculous. 2 days ago, we celebrated the fulfillment of God's prediction concerning his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, rising from the dead. 5 days ago, we celebrated the institution of the Lord's Supper. And it was at that same meal with his disciples that the Messiah, for the last of many times, called his own shot. You see, God doesn't make predictions like we think of predictions. He makes promises, and they're as good as done. We read from John 14:27-31. Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, 'I am going away and I will come to you.' If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me. But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father." Jesus is emphatic about his promise of peace. He says it twice. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." This is the peace of Jesus, a peace that was accomplished through his perfect life and innocent death, which reconciled us with God. Jesus says that it is not a worldly peace. And we see that all the time, don't we? Worldly calls for worldly peace. Bumper stickers, peace symbols, hand gestures. World peace is a common notion. It's one proposition that seemingly anyone can get behind. And certainly, we would think there can't be anything wrong with that. It's a great blessing. Our country has enjoyed a relatively peaceful homeland existence for some time now. However, worldly peace is also inherently flawed because it depends on the world and the sinful people living in it. The peace of King Solomon's reign over ancient Israel did not last. It was finally, his kingdom was divided. The Pax Romana, the peace of Rome at the time of Christ, also was divided as that empire crumbled. Likewise, the peace of our nation won't last forever either. As long as sin is in the world, sinful man will find a way to disrupt peace. It happens at the global level, and it happens at the personal level as well. Sure, you may look like you get along with your neighbor or even your friend, but how often do we gossip about them behind their backs? How often do we respond to harsh words with even harsher words and attitudes? How often do we choose harshness and anger instead of peace, and choose sin instead of God? If we had to call our own spiritual shots, we would fail every time. Instead of hitting the home run of living the perfect life, we can't even swing the bat. We strike out every time. But thankfully, gracefully, mercifully, that peace with God that we so desperately needed, the shot that needed to be called and delivered for us, it was never up to us. Rather, it was up to the Prince of Peace, our Savior Jesus. On that Maundy Thursday evening, Jesus called our own shot for us. And on that Resurrection Sunday, He delivered. We have been given that peace of God that passes all understanding, which will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Jesus' peace wipes away every sinful thought against our neighbor, every sin of thought, word, and deed. What an incredible thing it must have been for those disciples to be eye and ear witnesses of Jesus Christ Himself calling His own shot of His own death, His own resurrection and ascension, and then watching these promises be fulfilled right in front of your very eyes. He did it, not for His own benefit, but for theirs and for ours. And the same strength which the disciples were given by Jesus through His word gives us strength to endure the trials and temptations of this world so that we may also believe and be confident of Jesus' victory and His return on the last day. In verse 30, Jesus said, "I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me." Jesus was about to fulfill His promise of peace, and there wasn't anyone that could stop Him. The devil had no claim on Him. He never did. He never had a chance. It was a sure thing from the beginning. And Jesus knew all along. He knew. The whole time. He knew He would suffer. He knew that He would take the sins of the world on His shoulders. He knew that He would die. And He knew that He would rise. And He did it anyway. He always knew. Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." He knew from that very first promise and before. He knew He would win, and He knew He would rise. And rise He did on that Resurrection Sunday 2,000 years ago. He did not remain dead in the grave, but rather rose gloriously, securing our peace with God, our hope of resurrected life forever in heaven with Him. That resurrection morning, the angel at the empty tomb said to the women, "He is not here, but He is risen, as He said. Come and see." Let us remember today and every day to come to the peace and the promises found in the Word of God, secured by our risen Lord Jesus Christ. And let's sing about that risen Lord in the words of Hymn 488.